Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us. I am going to read about dolphin love today. Don't you love dolphins? They're one of my favorite creatures. Our verse is Song of Solomon 8:7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. It would be difficult to give a dolphin an IQ test, but animal experts tell us that the dolphin's behavior indicates that he is one of the most intelligent creatures on earth. He invents games, he solves problems, and he even seems to display emotion. A young dolphin named Algy teased other fish by baiting them with pieces of squid and then speeding away at the last moment. He would take a feather to one of the seawater jets and release it to watch it race away in the jet stream. A female improved the game by releasing the feather beside the jet rather than in it, giving her time to back away and wait for the feather to be jetted to her. Two dolphins were trying to get a moray eel out of a rock crevice. One of the dolphins left and came back with a dead scorpion fish. Using the sharp spines on the fish's back to poke the eel, they convinced it to leave the crevice. The eel was then caught and released in the middle of the tank where the dolphins attempted to make a playmate out of it. Dolphins are said to express joy, fear, and sorrow. At Maryland, two male dolphins that had gotten used to each other were separated for 3 weeks. When they were reunited, they were inseparable for days, swimming side by side, leaping completely out of the water, and completely ignoring other playmates. Then there was the male dolphin that refused to eat when his mate died. He circled her body, whistling constantly, and eventually died in his grief. Do you suppose he died of a broken heart? God seems to have placed love even in animals, perhaps in more of them than we realize. God has such a lot of love that he wants all to have it. And that love, really true love, is stronger than anything else. In the Song of Solomon 8:6, love is said to be as strong as death. When we think of what Jesus was willing to do for us, to go even to the cross, we could say this love is stronger than death. And I know that Jesus has given us pets and animals to help express his love, just as he's given us flowers and he's given us each other. And we really need to treat our siblings and our spouses with love, because it's Lord ordained. You know, it's the father of lies that's trying to ruin it all. So don't let him in. Just don't let him in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the ability to talk about you on the airwaves. I ask that you be with each listener and help them be fortified in the task that you would have them to do. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. That's our experiential learning section, but it just sounds so boring saying experiential learning. So in this arts and crafts, I'm going to talk about a video that I've put in my Pinterest site about dolphins doing fun things. Really does help you know that they're pretty intelligent. And then I've put a link to a video on how to draw a dolphin underwater. I mean, so it looks like it's underwater. And I also put a suncatcher dolphin craft there. So you can go to my Pinterest site. It's Pinterest at mrgamblin2. Those are my call letters. And I put all of these in a board called Windows on God's World. I think that board is getting really full, and if I learn how, I can start breaking it into chapters based on the book that we're reading called Windows on God's World by Dr. James Tucker. What a wonderful gift. If you email us at rgamblin@homeschoolcompanion.org, just is pretty simple, rgamblin, then that little swirly A representing at, then homeschoolcompanion.org. Just let me know that maybe you'd be interested in developing an integrated curriculum for your own homeschool. Whatever you do, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. You know, as I'm going through these things, I'm seeing the word lawful, and I think it could have just been labeled creative, neutral. So we talked on at the first show when we were discussing this topic of homeschooling styles, we talked about lawful creative, and then we talked about lawful neutral, and today we're talking about lawful traditionalist. And these titles could just simply be creative, neutral, traditionalist. Well, a traditionalist likes boxed curriculum and online classes because they worry that their kids are behind. Their kids can recite timetables forward and backward, and they even probably bought desks, even if their kids prefer the dining room table. They had room. And then if they don't have room, they're worried because they don't have room. It's all right. You can be a traditionalist. Kind of set that worry behind, because for each of these, there's a downside and there's a good side to them. So there's no wrong way. We just want to take the stress out of it for you. We want to kind of put your mind at ease. And that's why I'm here, coming to you as a highly educated educator, having been in school more than 25 years, if I count all of the professional development, to be that perfect teacher in the perfect traditional classroom. And now I'm coming to you and saying, hey, if you can homeschool, that's what you should be doing. So with that being said, we'll go on to questions parents ask. Questions parents ask. Well, this comes from Brittany, and it's just a word of encouragement to you all. She says, I used to worry about my kids when we first decided to homeschool, but I hope this encourages you. My oldest of five graduated early, and I'm so excited to have gotten through the process from the beginning to the end so successfully. We turned in her high school transcripts and finished the process for financial aid. She had already tested through the college to take some College Credit Plus classes. And you can do the same. They're allowing students as young as 16 in my state, but in other states, I've heard that they're even allowing younger students to start taking college courses for credit, so that by the time you graduate from high school, you also have an associate's degree from your local college. How cool is that? And, she still has four others that she's homeschooling, but this first one has, they use their transcripts from their home school. And I'm here to tell you, you can do the same thing. And if you need help, I'm happy to help you. rgamblin@homeschoolcompanion.org, all spelled out, homeschoolcompanion.org. Let's go to another question. Help, help, my kindergarten has lost all interest in anything I've tried to teach and just is not interested. When I mention he'll have to go to real school to learn, he cries and throws a tantrum. Honestly, don't want to send him yet. I feel like I just feel so powerless, and I'm scared that he might get behind. Well, I'm here to tell you, Mom. First of all, you said he, meaning boys. When boys are growing, their dendrites separate a little bit, and what they like to do before, as far as learning goes, they just can't do while that growth spurts in process. That's why, way back in the day, we recommended that boys don't start school till they're seven. And we found that they just caught up right away. They were ready to learn by that age, and they soon caught up with the girls, and it was just, it's a great idea. Don't start your child till they're seven, especially if he's a boy. And just back off, because the more you push, and if they're not ready developmentally, you will definitely have a big case of resistance to learning on your hands. So just back off. That's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. But I hope that helps you. Now we're going to go to our interview, and it's with Daniel Kennedy. I love this interview with Daniel Kennedy because we're talking about health. And he comes from a hospital in Mexico called Oasis of Hope, and they have done dramatic things in helping people survive cancer and other things that the traditionalists said, no, there's no help here. And so he's associated with Loma Linda University, so it's not that far, and Loma Linda will give their cases that there's no hope. They'll send them to Oasis of Hope. So I hope you enjoyed this interview. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Daniel Kennedy, and we're talking about Oasis of Hope. In fact, you can go and learn more by going directly to the website, oasisofhope.com. I want you to just take it away. Tell us how this came to be and how long you've been involved.
Oasis of Hope is a cancer treatment center in Mexico. And my grandfather, Dr. Ernesto Contreras, so I am a Contreras, but I'm also a Kennedy. He founded the hospital. Really, my grandmother built the hospital. He was the doctor, but she built it. So this beautiful, God-fearing couple builds the Oasis of Hope Hospital in 1963 and opens it with the belief and conviction that God created us body, mind, and spirit, and that true medicine should minister to the body, the mind, and the spirit. What did that look like back in the 60s? My grandfather came to work with his briefcase and medical file in one hand and the Bible and his guitar in the other hand. In the morning, he would write prescriptions and he would do physical exams and he would give all the great medication, and in the afternoons he'd gather the patients around and he would lead them in song, praise and worship, and give them the word of God, because the true healer is Jesus Christ. And so he brought in the best medical book that's ever been written, called the Bible. And he used that as the foundation for our treatments. 60 years now we've been going. We're actually in our 60th year. And I work now with his son, who's my uncle, Francisco Contreras, is the chief of oncology and our president. And then I get to be the CEO, because since I was the favorite grandson, they said, what job do you want? And I said, how about CEO? And they said, okay, let's see if you can handle it.
And so now you're here promoting a holistic type of healing for cancer. So how does the treatment differ there for cancer than it would be here in the United States in a regular oncology department?
Yeah, here in the United States, you're going to see your oncologist, and the oncologist is either going to prescribe chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. If you're wanting to get spiritual support, you need to go find a pastor or find a spiritual counselor. If you want to get psychological or emotional help, you need to go find a counselor or a psychiatrist or a psychologist. If you're concerned about your nutrition, you need to go get an appointment with a nutritionist. At Oasis of Hope, my grandfather integrated all of it. So you get to see your oncologist. You get to see our Christian psychologist. You get daily devotions and prayer and individual visits for prayer by our pastor that's full-time on staff. You get seen by our nutritionist, but not only do you get to see a nutritionist, we grow our own food on the roof of our hospital, and we have a teaching kitchen where we teach our patients how to prepare healing foods. We believe in God's pharmacy. We believe that when God created the earth, he put all of the nutrients in the beautiful foods, the fruits and vegetables needed for your body to heal itself and fight off cancer. So the thing that makes us the most different is that we always point to God being the only healer, and all healings are a miracle from God. we're doctors and we offer support, but we don't heal anybody. There's only one healing, and that's through the power of Jesus Christ.
Now, are there other ailments that people will come to Oasis of Hope for other than cancer?
Quite a few people will come with other, like, immune deficiencies and things like that, other chronic degenerative diseases. But our focus really is cancer. So if a person comes to us because they have advanced cardiovascular disease, we can definitely help them, but they're not going to feel the full experience because our focus is cancer. But people are welcome. Lately, we've been having people come after COVID because we're really good at rebuilding the immune system. And so we've been doing a wellness program as well. But mostly cancer is what we're doing. And we are an alternative. Most of our patients have already gone through all of the conventional therapy and been told to go to hospice. They're going to pass away. And they come to us. And we still have about a 30% success rate. And you think, well, 30%, that's not very good. Actually, it's really good in cancer.
It is.
But especially when we're not getting the patient first. We're getting them once their oncologist said, sorry, we can't help you anymore.
You know, this hits close to home to so many people. It used to be just a few years ago, one in 30 people would be diagnosed with cancer. And now it's 1 in 2 in the United States. 1 out of every 2 people is diagnosed with cancer. Now, mind you, it's probably their diagnostic tools are more keen. And also, I firmly believe that our body is probably fighting off those radical cells on a regular basis. So they might catch you at the right time that you have cancer. And if they just leave it alone, your body might have fought it off. And, so when you're talking about chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, I would highly recommend that someone go to you before they go through chemotherapy. Chemotherapy, I mean, I've had 2 family members go through it. I have promised myself I'm never going to go through it. I do not care if I'm diagnosed with cancer. I'm not going to go through it. Because what happened in every case, my loved ones died of the side effect. They might have still had cancer. They might not have. I don't know. I know one had fully gone into remission. But the buildup of those chemicals. And so what you're saying is even if you've had chemotherapy, there's things like fresh water, good nutrition. Do you do any supplements like the apricot?
We do. My grandfather was the very first person in Mexico to use that. So that'd be called Laetril or amygdalin.
Okay.
That's really what kind of put us on the map. That's why 100,000 patients from 60 different nations have come through our doors. We do a lot of that. Now we're doing nanotechnology or liposomal nutraceuticals, and we're using all kinds of things from green tea extract to silymarin. Everything that we do will have scientific evidence. We do go through all the literature.
Like Essiac tea? Do you use Essiac?
We don't use Essiac. We use other things that get results. So we don't try
to. What about ellagic acid? That's in the phyto, the colors of the blueberries and raspberries. I think ellagic acid is in there. Do you use those?
So we're not prescribing that in our liposomes, but we're getting a lot of that through our food program.
Through the nutrition.
So, yeah, absolutely. That's very,
so do
very
you
important.
Juice?
We do juice, and we have a really delicious green juice that we do frequently. We do a lot of infused waters as well. We're really into the microgreens, and so we'll actually teach our patients how to plant. We have planter boxes where they can plant. They can also pick, and then they can prepare their food.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We're trying to give our patients and their companions like a 3-week experience of living the new healthy lifestyle so that when they go home, they have learned how to continue in this lifestyle that helps combat cancer.
Now, I talked to a lady here who I interviewed someone who said 8 ways to become cancer-free or whatever. I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but the idea was that, you know, she had gone through the chemotherapy, but during the chemotherapy, she took a lot of steps to, with the nutrition and the water and, but it was interesting, you know, at first I didn't know that she'd even gone through chemotherapy. As we walked out the door after the interview, she said something like, "The thing of it is, chemotherapy has a lot of side effects. So even if you survive it, you have to make sure that you live that perfectly balanced life, spiritual, mental, physical, nutrition, vitamin D3, all of that. You have to live that so perfectly because the cancer will just come back. Like, it'll just come back with a vengeance if you don't." So you have these people that, man, they're so damaged already with chemotherapy. 30%, that's huge, because when you're on hospice, you're given maybe 3 months to live. It's really sayonara, adios, goodbye. You've had as much radiation as you can possibly take. You probably have, you know, can hardly walk, and you need to exercise, but now you can hardly walk because you've had so much radiation. So 30% survive, but how long do they survive?
Yeah, so when I give you a survival rate, I am talking about a 5-year survival rate, because that is what is measured in cancer treatment, 5-year. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the reason why 5-year is so important is that when a person lives free from cancer for 5 years, their probability of ever getting cancer again is equal to a person that's never had cancer.
Oh, okay.
And so that's what we're really tracking. We did a prospective study on 4 different types of cancer to see survival rates. And our highest survival rate was in stage 4 breast cancer, where we had a 5-year survival rate of 45%. The national average is 20%, so more than double.
Yes.
But our patients already came after having chemotherapy,
yeah,
right? So we were able to track a smaller group, so it wasn't as significant statistically, mm-hmm, but still we had about 15 women with stage 4 cancer that had not had chemotherapy. 75%
wow,
were alive with us at the fifth year
mark.
Yeah, so it makes a difference. The very first thing that we do with our patients is a deep detox to get the chemotherapy and the radiation out.
Yes.
Chemotherapy is very effective at killing cancer cells. Unfortunately, it also kills healthy cells.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that chemotherapy is not good at is to prevent a recurrence of cancer. The reason why is because in our cells are cancer stem cells. So we've heard about stem cells, but mm-hmm, there's actually cancer stem cells. So part of our therapy is to combat the cancer stem cells as well.
Okay.
And our patients do that at home.
Well, we have to conclude part one of our interview with Daniel Kennedy. And we've been talking Oasis of Hope, which really does give one hope. I hope you'll check out the website, oasisofhope.com. You have my commitment. If I am diagnosed with cancer, I'll come to you first before I go through all that chemotherapy. And tomorrow we're going to finish up because there's some other things I want to talk to Daniel about. So we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.